around and saw what had surprised our tank so much. A tree was vigorously growing out of the Wothe's grave. What had at first been a small shoot, that was probably first spotted by Eric, was now a young tree busily growing, both in height and in width. But the biggest surprise was yet to come. The glade, the territory of which I had recently been made guardian, was rapidly starting to grow in size. The tree was sucking all the taint from the cursed forest and in some mysterious way converting it into the nutrients it needed for growth. A thought flashed through my head that by consuming blackness the tree might itself become black, but it soon evaporated. The healthy look of the oak bore witness to the opposite. Where the two zones met, the mist was being absorbed into the ground, as if by a giant vacuum cleaner. Black stains fell off the trees, revealing healthy bark underneath, hit the ground, and were immediately absorbed into it like a sponge. The strongest resistance came at the places where we destroyed the three vampires, but soon even these spots fell under the fierce advance of a miracle being born. The purified area was also undergoing changes. All the trees on it were rapidly shrinking back into the ground, as if time had been set in reverse. The mast-like pines became smaller and smaller, turning into small trees, shoots, and then disappearing altogether, clearing space for a meadow. These transformations had been going on for only 10 minutes, when we found ourselves under the canopy of an enormous oak. It covered the entire purified area with its shadow, which increased to no less than 300 meters in diameter. "The others will be sure to kill us when they see all this in the evening," I muttered the first thing that came into my head. "We should say that we found this glade already, as it is, and not created it ourselves."
"Guardian," Slate, who had just come out of the tent, bowed his head, but bowed it towards the oak instead of me. "So is this oak the guardian now? And am I just a dispensable placeholder? Or am I indispensable after all? Damn, why is there always such a dearth of information?"
"You may approach, man."
Judging by yet another attack of goosebumps, all the NPCs in this forest spoke in high resonance mode. The sound came from everywhere, but it was clear that it was the oak speaking, or rather, the oak, which was alive and wanted something from me. I stopped a couple of meters from the enormous trunk and, doing all I could not to give in to my nerves, tried to imagine how many players it would take to encircle this giant. If I take up this much space, then, supposing that the trunk is a perfect circle, we'll need around
72 sentients with the same arm span as you.
The resonating voice sounded again through the glade.
"What you're thinking is quite evident on your face. So have no fear. I can't read your thoughts. You have my thanks, former guardian of the zone, for not letting yourself be destroyed and finding a way for me, the guardian of the dark forest, to be reborn."
"I was not alone," I quickly managed to add, in case we were about to be handed many bonuses, or punishments, whatever luck had in store for us. "Everyone currently in this glade helped to bring about the birth of the Guardian, even the one who isn't here right now, but will be back soon."
"I know. The free citizen who has been sent to the Grey Lands will reappear in my glade in 10 hours. He will also receive a reward, just as all those present here will. But you were the guardian of the zone, and you sacrificed this gift granted you by Iluna so that I could be reborn. I know full well the extent of your sacrifice and what it was you gave up, so I will try to compensate you for your loss. Stretch out your hand.
Very carefully, as if fearing that it might hurt me, a branch stretched from the tree, touched my hands, and immediately drew back, like a frightened dog. Taking no heed of the branch's strange behavior, I looked down and saw a small wooden object, whose properties were eloquently illuminating.
Left earring of the Guardian of the Dark Forest. Item class, unique.
That's it. No bonuses, no achievements, no... nothing at all, in fact, except for this piece of wood, and an incomplete piece of wood at that. The right earring was still out there somewhere. It was, of course, a unique and interesting object, probably with a story of its own, but this would be of more interest to real lore fanatics of Barleona, like Anastaria. I'll sell this earring to her. She'll be sure to put it to good use. The gaming avatar allowed you to put on various earrings, bracelets, or whatever else a player could think of, but these were purely decorative. Even a second neck chain would give you nothing save an extra weight around your neck. Items that improved player character stats were quite strictly defined. I thank you, Guardian, for such a rare gift. Being polite to NPCs, especially those with whom you have attractiveness higher than 80, should be a cast-iron rule for every player. Otherwise, you're no player, but just a total noob. As for the gift, what gift can a tree give? Just a piece of wood like this. So it'd be pointless being upset at the Guardian. Eric and Klutzer were in turn given wooden daggers, and Slate a disc or a shield of some sort, which made him so happy you'd think he received an invitation to be the groom at Tisha's wedding, handed to him personally by the Emperor. We'll have to ask him what that giant coin-like thing was.
"That is not all, former Guardian of the Zone."
The tree addressed me once again.
Although you have laid down your powers, I will permit you to use the reward to which you are entitled, especially because its time to come forth is near. But first, I would like to ask you to perform a service. The Dark Forest must be saved. It has to be cleansed of this taint. I don't know where it came from, but it has no place here.
Quest available. Cleansing of the Dark Forest. Description. Barleona's Dark Forest, which stretches many hundreds of kilometers on the east side of the continent, is facing a calamity. A curse has been put on it. Its guardian was destroyed, and its sentinels defiled. After rekindling hope in the forest when you helped the Dark Forest's guardian to be reborn from a dead but unbroken sentinel, you have been given the impossible task to destroy this taint. Where it came from and how one should fight it remains unknown. Quest type, unique scenario. Limitations, only you can pass this quest to other players. Maximum number of participants, not more than 2,000. Reward, the second part of the Dark Forest Guardian's gift, if the first part is already in your possession, plus 500 reputation to all encountered factions, plus 40 to any main stat, plus 10 character levels.
In its current state, the Dark Forest holds many dangers, so you must bring others to aid you. But you shouldn't bring all of Barleona here. or the taint might get a fright, vanish, and reappear in another forest. Find the golden mean, shaman. The dark forest must be cleansed."
After accepting the quest and sharing it with the rest of my group, I sat down right under the tree, leaning my back against it, and, not knowing where to put the new gift, stuck it into my ear. Yep, I'll be running around with just one rough wooden earring on, looking like a complete dolt. This way everyone will see the kind of presents you get from guardians of giant forests.
Oh, I had a bit of a think.
Finally, Klutzer started to make good on all the praise heaped on him by Anastaria. He was finally putting his brain to work.
"And it occurred to me that this scenario and the one we're doing for Elizabeth should be completed together. If we find the Stone of Light and find out what happened to the priests, we will find the source of the taint. I bet my boots that these quests are linked. Oh, I also think that the local Dark Ones will declare open season on us, and our small group will get pwned by a certain fluffy polar beastie."
"You don't say. How the heck can you be familiar with swear words all the way from what used to be Russia before the unification?" I chuckled. "Fluffy polar beastie, also known as Arctic Fox, is from there. There's no such expression in modern lingo."
"Bah! All the best swear words come from there. More droog. They're beautiful, melodious, and let you use the same word to express a multitude of meanings just by varying intonation, like a song. If you just want to sing along, you can use any old pop tune. But if you want to become a great singer, you have to study the classics, modern innovations, and all the other key genres. I'm a good singer, not a great one. German swearing is a little beyond me, but I aim to do a good job of it." "All right, we'll hear what you've got later, when we're somewhere more suitable," grinned Eric. "So, what are we going to do? Whichever way you look at it, we'll never be able to complete this quest on our own. The Guardian said right from the off that you need a group, which means gathering a large crowd and doing that quite soon. I agree with Klutzer. We're going to be hunted now. We let the sergeant slip away, and he'll be back, angry and nursing a grudge. He'll probably bring a lieutenant along, too, for backup."
"So, tell us what you've come up with. I can see that you've got something." I looked at Klutzer, who appeared to be thinking something through as he rubbed his chin.
"We'll have to get mercenaries, like Barsina,"
put in Eric, but Klutzer immediately corrected him.
"That won't work. A mercenary's aim is to make money, not gain reputation. They don't give a damn about the latter. This quest doesn't have a monetary reward, so mercenaries won't do. We need to invite those for whom the words reputation with all factions means a lot, and who would be prepared to hand over half the clan treasury for plus 10 levels and plus 40 to all stats. Damn, I've just let slip about the clan part. I would have liked for you to figure that bit out for yourselves. But you can see what I'm getting at, right? Hellfire, Anastaria, and others from Phoenix. Undigit from Azure Dragons. Tamzalat from Heirs of the Titans. Players who have gained level 300, and for whom each new level is a reason to celebrate.
Klutzer, you're a genius! We could earn so much cash this way that it'll last us for the rest of the game and then some.
I don't know about genius, smiled Klutzer, but the idea does have merit. Now we need to draft a proper agreement, which will limit the rights of everyone except members of the Sea Thistles clan. Oh, I can do that, and when Leidy, our most bribable official, I mean that most affectionately. No need to look at me like that. Gets back, he'll check it over and amend where necessary, as we did with the clan agreement.
How do we connect the High Priestess scenario to it all? I asked Clutzer. We should try to make sure that no one, or only a very limited number of people, knows about the existence of the second quest. At the same time, the sharing of that quest should happen only via myself, or it will spread like a virus through all the clans. It could easily end up being completed in the blink of an eye, altogether without us.
But how do we even tell the high-level players about the Guardian's quest?
Put in Eric.
We're here, and they're all the way in Anhurs. Do we send them letters? They'll never believe us.
I'll handle that part. I have a communication amulet for contacting Anastaria. I'll start with her, and then we'll see. I'll invite Plinto as well. His behavior was just a little too strange when I was attacked. I have a communication amulet for contacting him, too, so we'll have a chat. I have nothing to lose, and something tells me that debts like that have to be repaid. Although, stop. Guys, we're getting a bit ahead of ourselves. We've decided everything between the three of us. But what about Leidy, Dookie, Sushio, and Elenium? Even Barcina, if you think about it. I think it would be wrong to take any steps before discussing things with them. We should wait until the evening, and only then start offering the quest to everyone. Is that all right with you? There were no objections, so I closed my eyes for a nap. It felt like only a few moments later, when I opened them as Clutzer was shaking me like a doll.
Man, wake up! You have to see this!
I quickly checked the clock, and was surprised to see that almost 6 hours had gone by, and then looked to where Clutzer was pointing. A copper vein. A large copper vein. A tin vein. A large tin vein. A marble vein. A silver vein. A large silver vein. Iron. All the veins were standing next to each other, taking up about a third of the glade. The other two-thirds weren't exactly empty either. One was full of herbs, where Eric was already vigorously grazing, and the other was full of small trees, probably intended for lumberjacks.
"And how are we in the middle of a resource Eldorado all of a sudden?"
I couldn't help saying. I noticed that as soon as Eric picked a flower, another identical one sprung up in its place a moment later.
"Oh, I have no idea what's going on here. But our professions are being leveled up, which is the main thing," said Clutzer, sharing the happy news. "Oh, I've got my herbalism to the maximum, so I'll start on the lumberjacking now. Eric will be finishing the herbs soon as well. His main profession, smithing, has been leveled up pretty well, so he'll get further than me with herbalism. No matter, I'm a woodcarver, so I'll be getting some materials for leveling up in that. Look how much wood is growing around here. Right, I've got you up. Now it's up to you what you want to do next. Oh, I'm quite busy at the moment. I wanted to wake you straight away when it started, but the Guardian wouldn't let me. He put up a dome of twigs around you, but as soon as that was gone, I shook you awake to fill you in. But now I'm off."
Clutzer ran off towards the trees, and soon the surrounding area was filled with the sound of the axe and Anastaria's amulet exploding in a torrent of swearing.
"And good day to you too, beautiful,"
I greeted the girl, activating the amulet. At least I hope it's her and not Echiller or Hellfire. That would be a bit awkward.
"Where the heck are you?"
Instead of a normal hello, something between an agitated and a shouting voice hit me from the amulet. You never know, in Stacy's case.
"I couldn't connect to you for 5 hours. The amulet went mad and kept telling me that you were outside the reachable zone. That can't happen in Barleona. Amulets can be accessed at any point in the game, even in other worlds that unlock for special quests. But you were completely out of reach. I even contacted the developers, asking why the amulet was behaving so strangely, but their reply was that everything occurring was in accordance with game logic. How did you manage to hide?
I was asleep. I had no idea how to respond to this barrage.
Asleep? The amulet should have been screaming like mad until you woke up. Stacy, why are you calling in the first place?
I decided to quickly change the subject to dampen Anastaria's onslaught. If I started responding in the same tone, I could easily blurt out where I was, what I was doing, and how to get the quest. I think not. I needed a time out to gather my thoughts and set out my conditions.
What's that? Someone's chopping wood in the background? Are you in the middle of a logging camp? How did you manage to hide from the communication amulet?
The girl continued to dig for information, so I went on the offensive.
Stacy, give me the password for full access to the Phoenix Clan treasury.
There was a sudden silence on the other end of the amulet, and then Anastaria said in a happy voice,
Great! I was beginning to fear that you'd spill all the beans to me now. Still, I had to give it a try, no?
This was followed by a little laugh on the other end of the line, as if she was savoring every moment of this conversation.
I wanted to congratulate you. Looks like you've somehow managed to get hold of some lapis lazuli on your own, right?
Look, here's my standard answer. What makes you think that I was the one that created the dwarves? It's not like I even need them.
I didn't say a word about the dwarves. I congratulated you on getting a hold of the lapis, that's all.
Damn! Stop trying to confuse me already. Instead, tell me what's a zone guardian and what one does with it.
A zone guardian?
Her voice sounded surprised, as if she'd never heard of such a thing, but I felt with every fiber of my being that Stacy knew full well what it was.
It sounds familiar, but I just can't remember. Where did you hear this expression?
Well, you see, I have no idea how, but I managed to remove the taint from a small plot of a cursed forest, after which a half-dead local woodwoth crawled over to me and named me a guardian. But I haven't received any announcements about it. So now I'm sitting here and working out what's to be done next, because something tells me that I shouldn't leave this place.
Which forest are you in right now?
Stacy.
Man, do you want the information? If you do, let's both share.
Yeah, right. So this is the bit where I tell you where I am, and instantly get landed with 100-strong Phoenix Strike Force flying around the area and getting in the way of me completing the quest. I've been there, in Beatwick, when Hellfire destroyed my wolves because he happened to be passing through and was bored. I can't tell you my location.
All right. I'll look up what a guardian is and how a player can end up being one and get back to you. But remember, you'll owe me.
Just a few minutes later, Anastaria called back.
Looks like you've gotten caught up in something big over there, came the girl's cheerful voice. When I get kicked out of Phoenix, I'll be sure to join you. Interesting things keep happening to you, and I want in. Would you accept this newbie girl into your clan again?
Only if you make it through the selection process, I replied, mirroring Anastaria's tone. The cookies were a one-time-only offer. To enter the clan a second time, you'll have to try very hard.
Oh, I will, to be sure. So, what are Zone Guardians, and what do you do with them? There isn't all that much information out there, because even though guardians periodically appear in Barleona, the logic behind their appearance hasn't been completely understood yet. You weren't given an announcement for the simple reason that you would only have been a guardian until you get sent for respawn. After this, your zone would disappear and be absorbed back into the surrounding world, in your case, a forest. No one can cause you any harm in the zone of which you are a guardian, and essentially, this is it.
We can only guess what the developers meant by this title, but personally, I think that this could be connected to some hidden quest chain. You'll have to dig a bit deeper. I don't suppose you need the aid of a mercenary? We could sign an agreement stating that I would be acting purely as a hired hand for the duration of your quest and ensuring that there wouldn't be hordes of Phoenix players running around. It would be quite interesting to finally get to the bottom of this Guardian business. Often players themselves don't realize that they've been made a Guardian and only find this out once they've been sent for respawn and the relevant message pops up. But here we have a unique case of you being told who you are. You haven't died yet, I hope.
No, I haven't died, and I don't need hired help right this moment. Let's be in touch in the evening. I may have a thing or two to tell you.
Mayan, I gave you the information you needed, so you owe me. If you want to stay on good terms, learn to share.
Stacy, the information that you just gave me isn't worth me granting you access to anything.
Check your mail for the description of a certain quest.
Sorry, I won't be adding a proper link to it since it will show you where we are. Once you read it, you'll see for yourself that I'm right. I opened the mailbox and copied the conditions of the Guardian's quest, while deleting any mention of the Dark Forest. Let Anastaria turn on her brain and try to figure out for herself what this is all about. The silence from the amulet seemed to last an eternity.
For a day after a plot of land chooses you as its guardian, it will produce rare ores, trees, and herbs. Some of them will match the level of your gathering profession, but the majority will be much higher. In a zone like this, the leveling up in all professions happens at double the normal speed. I wanted to find out where you are in order to send a team of gatherers there. There have been cases of a diamond vein, redwood, or emperor's bloom appearing in such places. Do I need to tell you how much all of this can be worth? The resources appear 12 hours after the event, and judging by the chopping sounds in the background, you already know about that. This is my full answer about the Guardian.
And why couldn't you tell me this straight away?
And why couldn't you tell me about the quest straight away?
Anastaria replied with a question of her own.
What's with the habit of answering a question with a question? And what's with the habit of driving a girl nuts?
You're not married by any chance, smiled Eric,
who had just finished gathering the herbs and was listening to our verbal sparring with some interest.
You bicker like you're a seasoned couple.
Is that Eric you've got there?
Asked Anastaria, showing off her good memory.
The one and only. Let's try the following. You've already seen the description of the quest. I will call you in the evening and invite you to do it with us. My clan comes first, so if anyone objects, there'll be no quest sharing. Stacy, I will need more than just the Phoenix people. Get hold of Undigit, Atemzalat, and other high-level players. The more people there are from different clans, the lower the price for taking part will be. Yes, you heard me right. Anyone who wants to take part in this quest will have to pay. The phrase that I am the only one who can pass on the quest is no exaggeration, but comes straight out of the original quest description. Think it over. Gather some people, and we'll speak in the evening. Deal?
All right, until then.
When the situation called for it, Anastaria was quite capable of speaking plainly and briefly, without any jests or chuckles. The girl disconnected, and I sat down on the ground, holding my head in my hands. As much as I had wanted to wait for the others, I failed to keep shtum about the quest and, essentially, made the decision for the rest of the clan on my own. Never mind. The rest of the team should be here in 3 hours, and I'll explain to them that I had little choice.
Hello, everyone. I'm a bit early today.
About 10 minutes later, Barcina appeared in the glade.
Wow! This is some nice place you've found to make camp. How did you manage to find this? And what's this quest update?
I breathed a sigh of relief. The High Priestess's quest had updated for everyone in the group.
Man, would you tell me what happened here while I was away? How come Leidy's dead?
Barcina asked after noticing that his frame was gray. Well, there's been a bit of a shootout, I replied, for us all. Eric and Klutzer were lost to the world with wood chopping as they leveled up in the lumberjacking profession, so I had to do all the talking. After I told Barcina of our misadventures, she asked a reasonable question.
You won't mind if I do a bit of gathering of my own. Our agreement doesn't seem to prohibit it, but I wasn't involved in the business of bringing this about.
Be my guest. I flexed my shoulders, got my pick out, and headed for the veins. Just don't be too surprised by what you see.
See?
Asked the girl, but I didn't reply, having already thrown myself at an iron vein. With my level 52 in mining, I just had 8 more levels to go until I could mine gold, but the main profession limitation wouldn't permit me to gain more than +2. That's a pity. Should I perhaps focus on leveling up my jewel craft instead?
It renews itself!
Barcina's astonished voice came from somewhere to the right as she saw for herself how a new flower sprung up in place of the one she had just picked. She did have a surprise after all, I chuckled, as I continued to strike at the vein, despite me warning her and everything. After increasing my mining to its current possible maximum, which was limited by my maximum level in jewelcraft, I sat down under the oak and began to make rings. Eric and Klutzer followed my example and started to level up in their main professions, since they had plenty of crafting materials to hand. When Leidy appeared 2 hours later, the guardian handed him a wooden sword, same as the others, and I sent him off to gather herbs, chop wood, and mine veins. Leidy's main profession was alchemy, so he was only able to get it up to 10 with herbs. After that, you needed special ingredients like rat tails, spider legs, and field mole whiskers. I had no idea where to get all of these in the dark forest, so Leidy's leveling up wouldn't get very far. Never mind. The main thing was to lay the foundations. It would be easier after that. Anastaria was right. The speed of leveling up in the professions doubled, and at times even tripled. In just 3 hours, until the rest of the group showed up, I got my jewelcraft as far as 50. If I could only get to the trainer now. He had so many recipes for this level that subsequent leveling up would have been sheer pleasure. Listen up, everyone. After I crafted the last ring for the day, I addressed all the industrious herbivores. The players were flying at the herbs as if they'd never seen or gathered them before in their lives. That side of the glade was periodically filled with surprised exclamations and happy shouts whenever someone gained yet another level in herbalism. Guys, stop grazing like a herd of hungry cows. I need you here for 10 minutes. It's a serious matter. It's true when they say that as soon as a player gets a freebie, he completely loses his head.
So many herbs! Ah! We need to gather them! Gather them all!
It never even occurred to anyone that their bags would never be able to fit this much hay. They would stuff their sacks full of daisies, increase their herbalism to the point where they could gather yarrow, then chuck it all out and start gathering yarrow. Why they couldn't throw things away as they gathered them remained a mystery to me. Probably it broke some religious statute of their greedy inner zoo. So, that's how it is. I finished my retelling of the quest and the potential agreements with the leading clans. What do you say?
It makes sense to me,
said Barcina thoughtfully, after Sushio, Duki, and Alinium expressed their approval.
But would this affect our agreement? We signed it for 4 weeks, and at the moment there's a risk of it not being fulfilled. 10 levels and +40 stats points in essence comes to almost +18 levels, which is very nice, but...
Barca, I totally see where you're coming from, so I can offer only this. I'm sending you the Sea Thistle's clan agreement. Have a look at it, and if you find nothing else amiss, we could add the restrictions on open flirting. When you complete quests with us, this one and any others, you will receive as much as any other member of the clan. The degree of the reward will be proportional to the part you take in the quest. It's all there. Have a look. I have nothing against simply paying you something for making extra use of your help, but right now I have no idea how much we will earn in the end. It could be a million, or a couple of coppers. To avoid these problems, simply join Sea Thistles, at least temporarily. I think this will give us a fair way to distribute future rewards. What do you say? Barcina stayed silent for a moment, probably reading through the text of our agreement and weighing something up, and then looked at me and at the other fighters awaiting her decision and said,
"Send me the invite. You have a great agreement. You can see straight away that whoever drafted it knew what he was doing. Was it you?"
"No, but we have a guy in the clan who, one might say, is a specialist in this area." I invited Barcina into the clan as a fighter and pointed out a pleased-looking Leidy. "That's him over there, beaming like he's just won a prize. If no one else has any other proposals, let's talk about what we'll be asking from our dearly desired top players." When the discussion was coming to an end, Barcina proposed something else that could gain us additional profit. Why waste resources by throwing them away when you can invite high-level gatherers and allow them to graze on the glade for a certain percentage of the profit? Both they and the clan will benefit. So, looks like fresh blood was good for the clan. Well done, Barca. She thinks like a true mercenary. How to spot a cash cow and milk it for all it's worth. We could use pragmatic thinkers like that in the clan.
"Speaking,"
Anastaria's cool voice came from the amulet. How had she managed to get upset with me? Doesn't seem like her.
"Hi, this is Mayan."
"We're not ready yet. We need more time. Call back in 3 hours.
"This is about something else. Do you have a couple of high-level gatherers of herbs, ore, and wood to hand? The glade will soon disappear, and it seems stupid and wrong to lose a chance for profit because of excessive greed."
"Then why didn't you invite people in the first place?"
Anastaria briefly raised her voice, but immediately calmed down.
"The Guardian's resources appear only for a day, and we've already wasted so much time. My people are ready and await your signal. The mages will make a portal. You just have to give the coordinates. You can look them up if you..."
"I know how to look up coordinates. I'm sending you an agreement stating that aside from the gatherers, not a single Phoenix member will show up in this territory without my permission in the next 5 hours. I'm sorry, but I don't want to be trampled over by your fighters until we settle things properly. Finally, I want half of everything you gather."
10% maximum,"
the girl immediately replied.
"I realize that you're on a roll now, but even 10% is too much for a beginner clan if you consider that you will be profiting without lifting a finger."
40%, but that's only out of respect for you," I parried. "Stacy, there's little sense for me in sharing my location for just 10%. Nothing would be better than such a pittance. 40. I'm giving you too much as it is."
"All right, 20. Think about it. Consider the labor of my fighters and the fact that for you, herbs will be little more than something to hang from the ceiling, something that you wouldn't have any idea what to do with. A fifth of what's been gathered is a reasonable price for access to the plot. Just think of the expense we'll incur by opening a portal to you. We have to recoup it somehow."
30, and that's final. The portal will cost you nothing in total. You just said yourself that your players will be opening it. So what if your mages will be without mana for a day or two? It will do them good. They'll level up their intellect.
"Agreed,"
came the reply from the amulet after a little while.
30% of what's gathered will go to sea thistles. Send your agreement. The Dark Forest, she said in a thoughtful voice after the agreement had been signed and I gave her our coordinates. I wouldn't have thought. And also, I managed to remember an important point for the clan before the girl turned off the amulet. What now? I agreed to your conditions. Everything's been signed. It's not a condition, but a request. While here in the zone, I leveled up my jewel craft to 50, but I have no recipes with which to continue leveling up. Can you ask someone from the clan to send me some of the recipes sold by the profession trainer specifically for this level? All right, they'll send it to you with the bill, and you can just pay them back later. Then, since my foot is off the brake, I might as well try my luck further. Can you do the same for smithing, wood carving, and alchemy? In the case of alchemy, I need non-herb ingredients, and the recipes need to be from level 1 to 100 inclusive for all four professions. I'll repay the money, with commission on top if needed, and I'll owe you a cookie for your help. You're one brazen shaman, I can tell you that. Bork here heard you. He'll get everything done before the end of the day and send all the required recipes and ingredients in a letter. And don't forget about the cookie. I'm only helping you because you promised me one. Right, we'll be with you in a couple of minutes.
We? Whatever, we'll figure it out. I need to make another call now. What? You couldn't mistake Plinto's rough voice for anyone else. Greetings to the self-styled Robin Hood, I said, the rescuer of the poor and needy. It's Mayan bothering you if you didn't catch on yet.
Where'd you get my amulet? Ah, I was the one that handed it to you. Mayan, put the amulet on a stone and smash it hard with a hammer. If I catch you, I'll send you to a respawn point and keep you there until the heralds intervene.
While you're trying to think of more original ways to kill me, take a look in your mailbox. I've sent you the description of one little quest, which I reckon will pique your interest.
Did you bang your head real bad today? Get your ass to Anhur's in an hour, and I'll show you just...
Plinto suddenly fell silent. He had probably read my letter. Yes, exactly. When the silence from the amulet became worrying, what if Plinto was so overjoyed that he had had a heart attack, I decided to give the rogue a nudge back towards the conversation.
Who else will be there?
I don't know. I offered it to Anastaria and suggested that she gather all the top players. Let's talk again in a few hours and discuss terms.
I can't afford it,
he said, and I noted that when the need arose, Plinto could speak without playing the demon on a rampage just fine.
I don't have that much cash since I got thrown out, nor do I have any gear that would suit you.
What has money got to do with it? You helped me, and I'll help you, and then we can go back to hating each other and killing each other at every meeting. Or, rather, you'll do the killing, and I'll do the running away.
So what do I have to do to get to you?
We're quite far away at the moment, so please contact Anastaria and tell her that I have personally requested that you take part.
You do, of course, realize that I'll owe you for these 10 levels.
Exactly. Having the third highest level player in my debt is a very nice and useful thing.
Well, I'll get in touch with the bitch,
Plinto assured me and put down the amulet. So who's going to tell me what the heck that was about? Why did we have one Plinto before he read up on the quest and a completely different one after? Is everything he does purely for the benefit of an audience? It's like he's created an image and is following it to the letter. So why was he kicked out of the Dark Legion? Perhaps... What if he simply didn't want to move to Cardus? I'll have to try to talk to him later. I put aside Plinto's amulet and waited for the Phoenix team to show up, but I was feeling uneasy. There was something I hadn't done, something I hadn't thought of. If that crowd turns up here now, as it is, no matter how big or small, we won't complete the quest.
Hello, ants in the pantsa. This is Man. We showed off our totems to each other in the library. I urgently need your help. Your help as a shaman. I'm attaching the description of a quest. I have no idea what link it might have with shamans, but my gut tells me that if you're not with us, we will fail. I can't explain it. If you're interested, please contact Anastaria, the head of Phoenix, right now, and say that it is my personal request to add you to the team. As soon as I sent the letter, I breathed a sigh of relief. I couldn't explain why, but without a high shaman, one who was doing everything possible to become a harbinger, there was no completing this quest. And Ants in the Pantsa is the only shaman of the right rank that I knew.
I'll be there. You owe me a training session between Draco and Bussy.
Hello, everyone.
5 minutes later, a portal opened next to the oak, out of which stepped Anastaria.
Guardian?
The girl bowed respectfully to the tree, and to my great surprise, the branches began to move, touching Stacy's head, and a green sphere immediately began to shine around her. The oak put some kind of a buff on Anastaria.
So why didn't it do anything like that to us, its creators?
Heartless piece of timber. That's what you get if you've leveled up in reputation with everything and anything.
Two on the ore, two on the trees, and Rick and myself will take the herbs. Off we go.
Well, well. Aside from being a favorite of various guardians, she also happens to be a high-level gatherer. I was really itching to access her properties and have a good dig through everything in there.
Man.
Anastaria paused from picking some kind of a shiny herb.
I've handed over the amulet to Eckler. He's now the one gathering people at our castle. Plinto and someone named Ants in the Pantsa will also be there. By the way, why them?
I owe Plinto, so it's time I paid him back, and we won't get anywhere without Ants in the Pantsa. My answer should have made Anastaria very thoughtful. Let her rack her brains about how on earth I picked up such a debt, and what this lady shaman could have that Anastaria herself does not, and without which the quest is doomed to failure.
Are you sure about Ants in the Pantsa?
Stacy's voice sounded clearly interested now.
The quest description that you sent me made no reference to shamans, or did you just neglect to send me the full description?
No, that was the full version. Since you're here already, there's little point concealing it. I sent Anastaria the full link to the Guardian's quest.
And why aren't you working? Want to leave my clan without its due income?
Anastaria gave a hearty laugh and returned to resource gathering. I spent some time watching various herbs being picked by a girl who was exceptionally splendid in every respect. It never occurred to me before why gathering herbs took such a long time. I'd thought that all you had to do was walk over, pick one, and move on to the next. But things were not quite so simple. In order to gather herbs fit for use, and not end up with trash that even traders wouldn't accept, you had to diligently measure the height and width of the stalk, then figure out their ratio and times that by the herb type, measure the resulting distance from the ground, and thus find the only point at which the herb could be cut. This wasn't resource gathering, but an exercise in mathematics. It was so much easier being a lumberjack or a miner. You just stand there and swing an axe or a pick without a second thought. Although, I recalled how my pick ricocheted during my initial training at Pryke. In the end, every trade came with its own difficulties. I got infected by the Phoenix fighter-gatherer's industriousness and brought my jewelcraft up to 55. Going any further would have just been a waste of resources, and then moved on to conquer the iron and then gold ore veins. I wasn't about to miss out on earning my own share of the loot.
"Killer says that everyone's gathered now,"
said Anastaria 4 hours later.
"He's ready for your call."
I took a few deep breaths, preparing for strenuous negotiations between a small fry and a bunch of hungry sharks, and made the call. Previously, the guys and I had decided that we could begin negotiations at 1 million per participant, gradually lowering it to 600,000. At the same time, I set the maximum number of players to 30. I had little desire to make this into a free-for-all, and 18 million gold would give the Sea Thistles clan a good start, even with player salaries taken into account.
"Hello, Mayan. This is Eckler."
Our conversation began in an official tone, putting everyone in a business-like mood.
"As you requested, I've gathered 32 players of level 300 or above. This includes players who expressed an interest and were currently in the game, and also the two players who say that you personally requested their participation in this venture. Please confirm this. Everyone has seen the quest description that you gave us. Now, over to you."
"Good day, everyone." You had to admit that taking part in negotiations at this level over a communicator was somewhat easier than face-to-face. You didn't have to worry about watching the finer points of your own body language, although I did have Anastaria sitting right next to me, having by now completely abandoned herb gathering she had, like the rest of my team, begun to carefully listen to the conversation. "No point beating about the bush, so I'll get right to business. I confirm that Plinto and Ants in the Pantsa must take part in this quest. Their terms have already been agreed. As for the others, according to my modest estimates, for a plus 300 level player gaining an extra 10 levels are priceless, so I valued them at 1.5 million per player. It's not like I'm forcing anyone to take part," I added when I heard outraged exclamations from the other end of the line.
"We'll call you back in 5 minutes. We have to discuss your conditions," said Eckler, turning off the amulet.
"Not forcing anyone?"
Why is it that every time we speak, Anastaria looks more pleased than the cat that got the cream? What's so funny that each time she speaks with me, she chuckles so much?
"After all, I already know the location and have seen the quest description, so I could just step out and return with around 400,000 players. Then we'd see how you are not forcing anyone."
"You have leveled up your reputation with me to the required level, so you won't be doing anything of the sort," I replied in a similar tone, not wishing to show her that I wasn't in the mood for jokes at the moment. "And you also hinted that you will be joining my clan once you're thrown out of Phoenix, so it's not like you would want to upset your future employers." "So be it. I'll take you without putting you through any trials. You've convinced me."
"Thank you, old benefactor. What would I do without you?"
"Exactly. Who are you in Phoenix? You're just Anastaria, the head of this clan, and just coincidentally, officially, the most beautiful girl for the past few years," I ventured, not wishing for Anastaria to have the last word.
"Absolutely. There's no way I could miss the opportunity to become the most important and powerful first deputy leader of the great Sea Thistles clan, which has managed to scale the great heights of level 1. That really is food for thought."
"Just think faster." Man, she sure has a sharp tongue. She can twist those words so well that you'd spend half an eternity trying to catch up. "Or Eckler will call now and start demanding that discount." "You don't know everything yet, my beauty. Prince, what are you planning to do at night if you spend all day asleep?" I shouted into the tent.
"I'm not asleep." Slate's head emerged from the tent. "It's just that this wonderful dwelling can, among other things, keep out all unwanted noise. I've had quite enough of the sound of mining picks back in Beatwick, so I decided to hide for a bit. Bah! They're still at it.
Slate made a face, as if suddenly beset with toothache.
Right, I'm going back in.
Slate dove back into the tent, and I turned again to Stacy. You see, there's still much you don't know. We had discussed this point with the entire group, so I wasn't winging it. Whichever way you look at it, going up against the vampires would be very difficult. The sergeant's squad was proof of that. If we come across a lieutenant, we're dead meat. We needed additional muscle, so why not Stacy?
The future Prince of Malabar, right? The fiancé of the new princess?
Yep.
And he's in your tent, miles away from Anhur's.
Yep.
Where he's hiding from the noise, because he's had enough of the sound of striking picks.
Yep.
Quit it with the yups. I'm trying to figure out how you got him to come with you and why the princess would let him go, and you're just throwing yups at me. Spill the beans already.
I know some more words, as it happens. In your dreams.
You have another quest.
Anastaria lit up, and her changeless smile spread across her face.
It's not like you were naive enough to hand over another quest to the top players. And here's poor me, all ready to lament the fact that the promise of money had suddenly made a normal player out of you. That you've suddenly acquired a brain. You gave me quite a fright there, man. You owe me a cookie for the recipes, but please answer me just this one question. Do you have another quest connected to the prince or to the Dark Forest? I'm not even asking what it is. Just tell me whether you have one or not.
No, I do not have one more quest. I gave the girl a completely honest answer. And why not? It's not like I lied in the slightest. I don't have one more quest. As the glint of excitement started to die away in her eyes, and she was already beginning to turn into a snow queen again, I added, I have two. Chapter 6 The First Battle of the Dark Forest.
Man, it's Ekeler!
The vibrating amulet saved me from Anastaria, who had already taken a deep breath and was ready to tell me what a bastard I was. Putting my finger on my lips, I indicated that exploding in indignation right this minute could seriously jeopardize her Snow Queen reputation, and breathed a sigh of relief. I managed to avoid the most dangerous first flash of anger. In a moment, Stacy would regain self-control and be thinking of how to use the situation for her own profit. I just had to make sure some of that profit went my way as well.
You have my undivided attention.
You must realize that 1.5 million per player is too much. We've gathered around 50 potential participants. Some of them couldn't make it to the meeting at such short notice, but indicated that they want in. To be more exact, we've got 53 players, excluding Plinto and Ants in the Pensa.
Then it should be 52. We've already come to a separate arrangement with Anastaria. I looked at the girl who had raised her eyebrow in surprise. To be fair, aside from her, my entire team were sporting rather surprised expressions. This was not something we had previously discussed. The ID, who was still drafting the agreement, looked up at me, emphatically shaking his head, and said,
"I'll include that, too. I'll be including every little thing,"
before re-immersing himself in correcting the text. Some people really don't need all that much to keep them happy.
"Mayen, are you sure you know what you're doing?"
whispered Klutzer, who happened to be standing closest to me.
I don't seem to recall us discussing this.
I put my finger to my lips once again, showing that now was not the time to distract me, and returned to my conversation with Eckler. How could I explain to the guys that Anastaria would work much better for free than for money? For her, the concept of being indebted was not just some random collection of sounds,